You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG online at kpcg.fm. And there's a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. This is Trumpet Radio Live. It's a holiday edition. And we are live. We're here.
Yes.
This is not a mirage. This is happening. I'm Dwight Falk, Abraham Blondeau here on Memorial Day. So we did it. We came in.
Yes. Yeah, we did. And even though we're at work, it does feel more relaxed than normal to be here on the radio.
Yeah, it is. It's always a little bit of a lighter crowd on the holidays as far as work is concerned. So we wanted to come in. We wanted to do it on this day, and hopefully everyone's enjoying a holiday break in most cases. And a little bit to cover today on the program as far as headlines go. Also, Grant Turgeon's going to be stopping by as well. That's not forced. He said he wanted to come.
A weekend warrior.
He's a weekend warrior. He's a holiday assassin. So he'll be coming in as well. We'll be talking to him about an update on a story we've been talking about. The Mediterranean has the migrant crisis, and there's been more problems there. So he's got an update there, an article from the New York Times. We'll be talking about that, and also some things that have happened on this day in history as well. Interesting headlines from the weekend, some of them animal-related, which is not always common, but we've had a few pretty big stories, I guess, as far as animals are concerned. This first one's all over the news, is what happened at that Cincinnati Zoo. It's from CNN.com. It says, was shooting a rare gorilla the only option for Cincinnati Zoo? So no doubt you've seen this story. It's been the big story over the past few days here. It says, zookeeper shot and killed a rare gorilla after a four-year-old boy slipped into its enclosure at the Cincinnati Zoo, triggering an outcry over how the situation was handled. Footage shot by a witness shows the 17-year-old male gorilla standing near the boy who went under a rail, which I'm still amazed that he could get in there, through wires and over a moat wall to get into the enclosure, according to the zoo. The footage later shows the gorilla dragging the child through the water as the clamor of the crowd grows louder and increasingly panicked. Zookeepers then shot the 450-pound Western lowland gorilla with a rifle rather than tranquilizing him. And, of course, people were asking, well, why don't you just tranquilize him? And they said it would have taken too long to take effect. And obviously, if he's got the small child there and he gets hit with a tranquilizer dart, you can imagine he'd be pretty upset. I have no idea what they should have done here, but it's just, I know what should have happened, and that is that kid should not have gone into there.
Right.
I don't know how that happened, whether it was some sort of an accident or what, but wherever you are, and I have kids, you got to keep an eye on them. And sometimes you got to keep a hand on them, too, just in terms of, hey, take my hand here. You're a little kid. Be careful what you're doing. So I don't know exactly what happened there, but unfortunate, sad to see something like this occur.
Yeah. It's usually with these type of situations, how the situation is handled is usually criticized instead of how the situation came about in the first place. In this example, with usually, especially with zoos and animals, someone usually gets too close or they do something against the rules, and it usually ends up in these kind of drastic circumstances. And it is unfortunate that the animal had to be shot, but I mean, you're dealing with a 450-pound gorilla that could tear that kid apart, no problem, in a second. And, I mean, he wouldn't know what he was doing. They're powerful animals, especially if he's getting upset or something like that. I mean, you don't want to take chances with that. So it's unfortunate, but, I mean, they were probably playing it safe. And with those sort of things, you don't want to take chances.
Right. I mean, if you're the zoo, imagine the outcry if the kid had been killed.
Right.
And then what, would there even be a legal charge there or something? Hard to say. Just a really tough situation for the zoo officials to be put into.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, interesting story. Did you happen to see the footage of it?
Yes, actually, I watched it just before coming up here because I saw the stories on it. And yeah, it's kind of surreal seeing it because, the gorilla just looks like he's going about his normal business. But, I mean, there's this little boy there. And it is odd to see, but they're magnificent animals, but they're meant to be separate from humans.
Right. Well, like you say, you don't know what they're going to do. I mean, it might have been fine or he might have killed them.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say what would have happened there. So really bad situation there at the Cincinnati Zoo. I love going to the zoo, seeing the different animals and that type of thing, but you do have to be careful. This is fairly rare, I think. Occasionally you hear something where somebody gets into a enclosure they shouldn't be in there, but for the four-year-old to get in there, I'm not sure exactly how that all occurred. Typically, it'd be pretty tough to get in there. I mean, they do have it enclosed pretty well, usually.
Especially with the moat around the gorilla enclosure. Yeah. I mean, they get through that, too. Yeah, it's either odd circumstance or a lot of effort.
The scariest part of a zoo to me, as far as animals go, is the snakes.
The snakes,
yeah. Because here in the Oklahoma Zoo, they have it's called the Oklahoma Trails, where you can walk through and see the different animals.
Right.
That are native to the area, and there are snakes, of course, some poisonous ones, and I went up to the cage where the water moccasins are, and they're just angry, like they just have a bad attitude, and of course they're caught as well, so that probably is part of it, but they just look mean, like they just want to bite you, and we took a little vacation the last couple of days, and we were my family and myself, and we were hiking around by this lake, and we saw a snake go into the water. I don't think it was poisonous. Didn't appear to be. No snake expert. Certainly, we were like, "Oh, look out for that thing." But that whole night, I had these weird snake dreams where these snakes were attacking me. I don't know. That's the one. I guess that's the one thing that I really like them. I like looking at them, but at a very safe distance, or when they're behind some sort of enclosure.
Right.
Not that I'd be. I'd certainly be scared of all those things if they were loose. But for some reason, those snakes, man, I don't know.
Yeah, actually, the gorillas are what get me, or
really?
Other big apes, because I've seen too many videos where they almost break through the glass at the zoos, and they're just very unpredictable, and they're very powerful. Like, they're hard to evade if they come after you. But usually, I mean, that's not a problem for most people, I hope.
Yeah.
But it does remind me, last time I was at the Oklahoma City Zoo. I was watching the orangutan, and he was just going to bed. So it was neat, though, because he was looking for some straw, and he threw it in the hammock, and he jumped in the hammock and tucked himself in like a blanket, then he went to sleep.
Wow.
And it was just odd seeing him do that, because it looked, I just didn't expect like an animal to do that. But, yeah, he was just looking for something to get underneath so he could sleep.
They're often, whether it's like, say, the monkeys or the orangutans or the gorillas, they seem to have a pretty good sense of humor.
Right. Yeah.
I've been at the zoo and they're just doing things where you're like, that's got to be a joke of some kind.
Yeah.
Like they're playing with the people and that type of thing. And so it is interesting to see that. We stopped at one of these animal preserves yesterday. It was in Arkansas, and they have tigers and lions and that type of thing that they've rescued from people that oftentimes bought them and then realized, oh, I can't have a tiger in my house.
Right.
This always baffles my mind. And so they're in this preserve, and there's two bears there, and they share a enclosure. And the one was sleeping, and the other one kind of walked. He was sleeping on this sort of a stand, and the other bear walked under it and then was kind of around him. And as the bear walked underneath, the other bear reached down and bit him on the back, just playing, and like gave him a little tug, and the other one like came after him, and they were, so that was pretty cool to see that how they interact and some of the fun they have with each other.
Right.
But it is a very surreal feeling knowing that if that cage wasn't there, none of us are getting out of there alive.
Right.
What could you do? I mean, they overpower you. They're faster than you. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about zoos is you do get to see them it's an artificial environment, but still you get a sense of just how they act up close. But without the safety measures, I mean, that would be probably the last thing you'd see in a lot of circumstances. So it is a neat experience, especially in the West where we have more types of zoos and that kind of thing. But we always have to remember that in their natural habitat, there's something that we have to be aware of. It's not, if you see bears in the Rocky Mountains, it's not like watching them at a zoo. You have to be very careful.
One of the stories that they told us at this animal preserve was a guy had a, I forget what it was, if it was a, I don't know what it was, some sort of a large cat. I don't think it was like a lion or anything, but it was something bigger than normal. And he realized he couldn't take care of it, so he just dropped it off in like a national park. But the thing came back to his house.
Right.
Like 2 days later, it was back there again. Yeah. But I just thought, what are you thinking? You can't just release this stuff out into the... But that happens. That happens in Florida now, too, where there's these huge pythons all over because people bought them as pets, didn't want them, and then just dumped them out in, like, the Everglades.
Right.
You can't just dump stuff out like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, whether it's in Canada or America, I mean, they do take a lot of care tagging everything, keeping track of it, but also making sure that the ecosystems aren't unbalanced, because there's plenty of examples where people dump their pets into an ecosystem and ends up destroying it because it's not native or it has no natural predator, so it just ruins the whole balance and it causes a lot of damage. So, I mean, that's the more serious nature besides anything that could be deadly, is that the long-term effects could jeopardize the whole habitat just because you didn't want a pet anymore.
One of the ladies at this, when you look at these different animals that are at this animal preserve there in Arkansas, they have the little information plaque outside so you can read the name of the animal and then the circumstance in which they got it. And one of the lions was bought at an auction as a cub for $175.
Wow.
That's not much.
No, there are purebred kittens that are worth a lot more than that.
Yeah. So they took the thing home, and it played with the kids for a while, and then all of a sudden it destroyed their recliner. So they put it out
right
back, you know, and then the neighbors started to, as it got bigger, say, hey, wait a second. What's that noise coming from your backyard? And it was a lion. People had a problem with that, as you would imagine. So
yeah.
Really interesting. There was one, this is not funny, but it was... I guess it was kind of funny just from, like, how stupid humans could be, more than, say, what happened to the animal.
Right.
I think it was a bobcat or something, and they recovered it from a frat house. It was, like, their mascot. And so I feel bad for the animal, but just the idea of all these guys with this bobcat on the loose in their dorm. Boy, what happens at college, right?
Yeah, America's leaders in a nutshell right there. Yeah, so
somebody said, let's get a bobcat or whatever it was for a mascot. Oh, man, interesting. So some animal stories from this weekend. This is another one. Australian MP blames human stupidity for suspected fatal croc attack. A 46-year-old woman is feared dead after being attacked by a crocodile while swimming with a friend on a beach in far north Queensland in Australia. The women, plural, who were not from the area were reportedly swimming in waist-deep water on remote Thornton Beach in the Daintree National Park at about 10:30 p.m. Sunday night when the woman was taken by the crocodile. North Queensland member for Parliament Warren Ench, who represents the region, said the victim should be blamed for the attack and not the crocodile. He said, you can't legislate against human stupidity. Not a lot of pity there, I guess. Because Thornton Beach, he says, lies next to a creek where tourism operators run crocodile spotting tours. He said, this is a tragedy, but it was avoidable. You can only get there by ferry, and there are signs there saying, watch out for the, quote, bloody crocodiles, he added. Not sure if that's what the sign says or he was just saying that for emphasis. Anyway, it says, look out for the crocodiles. He says, if you go swimming at 10 o'clock at night, you're going to get consumed. And that's what happened. I mean, they don't know. They didn't find her yet, but she's gone. So, this is kind of a strongly worded statement by this Australian MP, but it's kind of the truth, too. I mean, if you're going to go swimming at that time, right by where they go and look for crocodiles because they're there, you're going to have problems.
Yeah, just, I mean, it's obviously they were tempting fate or just didn't put a lot of thought in what they were doing, because if you invade their habitat or just put yourself in danger, I mean, there's not a lot they can do. That's their animals. They don't know right or wrong. They have instincts and they'll act on them. So, it is, like you said, a tragedy, but at the same time, hopefully it'll help other people realize that we have to be really careful in these situations.
Crocodiles are another one that scare me.
Right.
When you go to the zoo and you see them down there, and usually you're looking down at like a lagoon sort of area, and you just think the same thing, like, if I fell in there, Oh.
Yeah.
It wouldn't take long. Those things would, what are you going to do? They're massive.
Yeah, and they're just mean looking too. Like yeah. They're just, they're meant to inspire fear, I think.
They're just a big mouth with teeth.
Yeah.
And a tail. Yeah. They're pretty intense animals. So there haven't been a lot of crocodile attacks in Australia. They say there were just 15 people fatally killed. Fatally killed. That's what it says. Can you be not fatally killed?
Apparently in Australia, yes.
Interesting write-up. CNN.com. Fatally killed by crocodile attacks between 2005 and 2015, all of which were from saltwater crocodiles. There's a database. They have the tracks, all of that. The last fatal attack in this same area of Daintree was in 2009 when a five-year-old boy was taken by a crocodile while he was playing with his brother and his dog on the banks of the river there. So another tragic story there out of from animals this weekend. But again, you don't want to go swimming in croc-infested waters. It's a bad idea.
Yeah, no, you don't.
Lesson learned. You guys don't have any crocodiles up in Canada.
No, well, the big problem is even getting in the water because it's frozen. So,
right.
The big thing up there, I think, is... Well, you have to go pretty far north for this to happen, but it's like the different Arctic, like orcas. Well, even in BC, orcas, different seals and that kind of thing, they can be pretty nasty if you're not careful. So that's mainly on the west coast, or if you go really far north. Where I'm from, there's, well, it's landlocked Saskatchewan.
Right.
The biggest lakes we have, we don't really have anything in them, so... it's mainly the big creatures in the north you have to be worried about.
Yeah, and you have to watch out for the abominable snowman as well.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Which I think is everyone's father until they're old enough to realize he's just wearing a lot of clothing and to stay warm.
He's going out for the mail and coming back. Yeah. What is that? Oh, that's Dad. You do have to bundle up. Yeah, that is true. There was one time, unrelated but sort of related. We're back in Wisconsin. We had one of those cold snaps where it was about 20 below zero Fahrenheit. Not wind chill, just temperature. So it was bitter cold. And we didn't have that long of a driveway. You know, it was probably, 200 feet or something like that. And I was a teenager. And I'm like, I'm going to go get the mail. You know, and I was inside, so I just had my T-shirt on and pants or whatever. And I thought, I'm just going to run out there and get it. And you open the door and you head out and you're like, yeah, this feels fine.
Right.
And then about 2 seconds later, you're like, oh, so I made it, you know, it wasn't that far, but I regretted it. It was cold. It was,
yeah.
I realized my mistake. you don't want to be a tough guy when it's that cold outside.
Right. Well, it reminds me of a funny story about a dad being bundled up in the winter. My sister worked at A&W. I hope she's fine with me releasing that information to the public. And she worked the later shift, so they closed around 10 or something like that. And my dad would go on the bus, pick her up, and then take her back home. They travel with her at night. And so he went there, and he was waiting outside, and Liz's coworker leaned over to her, and he's like, I think that guy's going to rob us. And my sister looked over there, and it was my dad, but he's wearing like a balaclava, like a denim jacket, like black gloves. Like he was just pacing back and forth outside the door waiting for her to come up. So he thought he was going to, like, someone's going to rob them, but my sister was like, no, that's just my dad.
Well, that's true. Yeah, when you bundle up, sometimes you could look like a potential criminal. Yeah. Hiding your identity. Yeah, that's true. That's a funny story. You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG, and online kpcg.fm, and live link at thetrumpet.com as well. You can follow us on Twitter if you'd like to, at KPCGFM. And any questions or comments, send those to comments at kpcg.fm.